sometimes the human being, the individual, he gets occupied or busy with such sins that he doesn't realize what he is doing. And he's not aware that this is a sin, what I'm doing. And he doesn't know that how big a sin it is, how significant a sin it is. And it's such a big sin that his dunya in this world, life in this world and hereafter, is spoilt by that sin or those sins. But he's continuing and implementing that sin, doing that sin. And the generation we are in nowadays, the conditions around us, we are so busy and occupied and affected by sin that we don't even realize that we are sinning and what the punishments are and how big the punishments are. There is one sin that I think in this day and age it is very common. And we are not cautious with regards to that sin, careful at home, outside. It's common. And the punishment of that sin is very severe. And the person's heart, when he hears the punishment for that sin, then the human being, he would tremble, shake, that this bigger punishment, severe. So brothers, the reckoning of the hereafter, the account for the hereafter will be very severe, hard and taxing. And we need to live our lives in this world very carefully. Very carefully. There's a hadith in Bukhari. And when we see this hadith, we realize this the significance of the Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. He narrates this hadith. And he stated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. And he said that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that, curse be on such a man. So look at this hadith and the sin. The punishment's being said before the sin. And who said this? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's beloved, that when the words came from his blessed mouth, then that's it. It's reality. Are they not accepted? Will this occur or not? Definitely. And if he's mentioning a sin, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that lanat, curse be on such men, such people. So tell me, those men and women who are committing the sin, then they will be cursed. And the curse of Allah is severe. Now la'na, curse, means then that everything he is affected by, there's no mercy of Allah, no blessing of Allah, no karam of Allah, no grace, no fadl, no blessings. Total curse on that person. So a curse, when a person's cursed, then everything of his is far from Allah. It is in darkness and he is detached and there's no mercy of Allah on him, no blessings of Allah on him or her. Who's saying this? The head of the prophets, the merciful prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the world, two worlds. So the first point here is that the words that have come from the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are severe words. Then imagine how big that sin is, how bad that sin is, and how unhappy will be Allah and his rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when an individual commits that sin. And how common that sin is today. Imagine. And these are our mu'amalat. These are our actions, our behavior, our lives are affected, our mu'amalat, etc. So a person, when he prays salah, he does different actions of worship. But sins are there. And the sin is the real thing that we need to look at. That what sins am I committing, implementing, so that I can get away from them. Because a sin earns Allah's displeasure. It causes Allah to be displeased. So how can I please Allah if I'm disobeying Him? How? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us directly that everything comes under this banner. If Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam curses that person, cursed be such a man or whoever is doing this. And which person? Those people who resemble or take after women. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those men who resemble, who copy, who look like, bear a resemblance to, be similar to women, who seem like, who smack of women. And also such women who resemble or look like or take after men. So same vice versa, Allahu Akbar. And what is this for us today? On this sin, with regards to this sin, we are proud if we implement this. Forget about accepting it's a sin. We're proud of implementing this deed. Aren't we? We say, or we consider, that we will do this action with pride. And if a person doesn't do this, we say he's mad, or we say he's backward, and we give him bad titles. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? Now we need to follow our deen, our religion. We aren't clashing with anyone. We're not arguing with anybody. We have to answer to Allah. That's what we're interested in. We have no clash with any religion, no opposition. Every man has a deen, a religion, a culture, a tradition. That's fine. Let them do what they have to do. But we have to look at our accounts and our deeds and our analysis that we have to be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to implement those actions in our lives, which the Prophet of Allah and his Rasul have told us. What a big punishment. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, curse be on that person. Curse be on that man and curse be on that woman. For which sin? Those individuals who resemble or take after or imitate or copy or look a lot like what? That man who looks a lot like women. In which way? And vice versa. Now one thing's been mentioned here. Man and woman, they are totally different in the eyes of Allah. In Allah's principles and rules, their body, their physical condition, their emotions, everything is different, unique and distinct. So if a man makes his appearance and his libas attire, or commonly in society when it's accepted that women do these actions, A, B, C, D, E, F, women wear these types of shoes or footwear, women utilize these colors, and women wear these clothing items. So obviously, Allah Ta'ala has made the biggest identity is what? The face, that this is the face appearance of women. The hairstyle, this is the hairstyle of women. And in the same way, men who are distinct and unique. So now the man and the woman, or the woman and the man, he and she are, you can say, intertwined now, intermingled. There's no he or she. It's sort of merged, isn't it? Men and women, they resemble each other a lot. And we think that there's nothing wrong with this, but from this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can see that Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are sending the curse on that person who does this sin. So will he have anything left to his account, to his name, that is worthwhile? That, for example, our children are doing this, our sons and daughters, and we see this with our bare eyes in our homes. That, oh, what should we do? What should we recite? What ta'weez will help us? What potion will help us? That if Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are unhappy. So that's why we are in need of extreme caution. First and foremost with our attire, our appearance, our looks, everything in our actions. Even when we're trying to make ourselves look handsome and beautiful, we've gone to this extent that the man, he applies talcum powder and foundation cream to his face. And women have gone to that extreme that we cannot see that. Is this a man or is this a woman? We can't distinguish. We cannot differentiate. And those individuals who do this are proud of themselves. They say, no, we're modern. We're advanced. We're progress. So that's how careful we need to be if we want to observe this hadith and instruction. So whenever a person utilizes something, a resource in the world, I'll give you an example. That commonly in society, what do we wear? Clothing item. Let's take an example of the, what do we call it? Cardigan. Yeah, people wear cardigans. Men wear cardigans, women. There are buttons right and left. So what's the difference here? That whoever makes up the buttons this way, from this side, that will be the woman. And this is the recognition of that. These are the cardigans for women. So we'll need to be careful that the man shouldn't wear that item of clothing. Otherwise he'll come unto mushabaha, which is resembling the opposite sex. And this is a minor small example. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Lana, curse, then we need to be different in everything. Or commonly, where does the woman apply put the watch on? She puts it on the right hand. Isn't it? On the right wrist. The woman, it's common. The woman in society around the world, it's common that the women folk, they put their watches on the right. So the man will put the watch on the left wrist, on the left hand. So caution says that don't imitate what women do. We need to do opposite to that. Different term. What do? We do the same as the women folk. We also put the watch on the wrong wrist. And who has a ponytail? Who wears lockets and earrings? On the women folk. And we need, everything is separate. The footwear style, sock style, clothing style. In other words, first and foremost, the muttaqi insan, who fears Allah, a pious individual, a good individual, to save himself or herself from the adab, punishment. For example, it said that when you go into a store, it will be written, this food halal or haram? Is it lawful or unlawful? We look at the ingredients. Why? Because we don't want to consume haram food, do we? So we look first on the food packet. Is it halal, haram? We look at the ingredients because we want to be saved from that sin. In the same way in our lives, we should look at every action we do. Is this lawful for me or unlawful for me? Is this, if I utilize this in this way, will I be saved from the sin? Or if I utilize it this way, will I be saved, not be saved from the sin? I'll be implementing the sin. So, common in society. If a woman utilizes certain colors, her face, or the appearance of women nowadays, the hairstyles and the clothing, like with men, they have certain hairstyles. And on their faces they have beards. So those who cut their beards, they are resembling, their faces are resembling who? Tell me yourself, who do they resemble, look like, similar to? Tell me yourself, you know the answer. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whoever resembles women, and whichever man resembles women, looks like them, copies them, then there's land on that person. Curse. So what's left? What are the punishments left? So much meaning and depth in this hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has, with his blessed statement from his blessed mouth, he has sealed this description, subhanallah, in a beautiful way for us to understand. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has presented us the culture, the way of life, the style of the mu'min, that you need to live like this and you need to live like this. You are distinct, you are different. You have unique qualities. We say, no, there's no difference. Do what you want. But we shouldn't do that action that it looks, when people look at it, it seems that women are doing this. This is the style of women. The appearance is like women. The way you're walking, the walking style is like women. These colors women wear and these colors men wear. To wear the bright colors, extremely bright colors. Who wear these things? Women. And when a person sees the man doing that, they say, oh, these are colors of women. Oh, you've made your face look like women. You've got the clothing and attire of women folk. And you're wearing jewels like women do. And the colors that you're adopting are women's colors. Even glasses have designs, don't they? If you go to the opticians, they'll say that this is the men's section, these are the women's section, these are the gents' glasses, these are the women's glasses, male and female. So if you go and prefer a women's glass, oh, this is nice, and you put them on. So the hadith, and you come under the banner of the hadith, that you're resembling the opposite sex. So commonly in society, there are resources and ways and styles and mannerisms of women and men. However, that this man, look, he's wearing clothes like women. He's wearing he's put the watch on like women, on the wrong arm, in the wrong wrist, in the wrong way. So every action we do, we need to think that Allah's made laws, principles, customs, traditions for us. How should I use this? How should I wear this? How should I do this? How should I say this? Muslim's life is very unique because the deen of Islam, the religion of Islam, is a complete way of life. Islam isn't just to teach us to pray salah or prostrate or just keep fasts. No. Islam is a complete way of life, and worship is one part of Islam. Deen is massive in magnitude, and worship is just a part of Islam. The rest of the deen of Islam, religion of Islam, is massive, vast, expansive. Actions, how we should do them, how we shouldn't do them, punishments, consequences. If we don't come into the whole game and we don't do amal on Islam, then how will we succeed? If I get grabbed in the hereafter for this sin, but those people who've lived their lives resembling other like women, or women resembling men, that your children were like this, their libas was like this, their appearances were like this, your son, he was made up like a woman, and your daughter was made up like men, then we'll be asked, we'll be challenged, we'll be punished, we'll come under the banner of those who did wrong. And when we say, oh, I didn't commit a sin, this is such a big sin, that Allah says, this is such a big sin that my Nabi, my Habib, sent curse on you. How can I give you paradise? You lived your whole life in the dunya, and you lived your life with curses upon you. Your worship, standing, sitting, moving, walking, talking, everything of your children, home, inside, outside, all of your life was immersed in this sin, resembling the opposite sex. So brothers, this is a hadith, we should do amal on this, practice this. In life, we need to exercise extreme caution. Be careful. What are we doing? What are we not doing? A man, when he resembles or copies or does things similar to women, he needs to ask himself a question that, whatever I'm doing, does it resemble women? Those things commonly that women utilize in society, they are women's. They are assigned to the women folk. If women like this style of shoes, and if the style and brand is for women, we need to be careful. If we put those on, then we are resembling and copying the females. It's clear. And if items or brands are released in society for men, and the women jump onto those brands and items, then the women folk will be copying men, and they will come under the banner of that sin and that hadith. Is this not the case? So, for example, if you say, oh, I'm in the center point, and you start adopting what they... for example, I've got a jumper, but people say, this is a woman's jumper. You say, no, it's comfortable. I'm not a woman. No, it looks like a women's jumper. It's commonly accepted. So what a great hadith. So we should be careful in life that our lives, when we live our lives, we should live our lives according to the principles of Islam. And so from today, we need to be very careful that everything we start to use, we need to see whatever we practice or utilize, this is a woman's or a man's. For example, I go to buy a cardigan, then I look at the buttons, are they on the right side on the seam, or are they on the left side of the cardigan? If it's on the left side, I say, no, this belongs to the man or the woman. And if I say, no, what difference does it make? No, commonly in society, society has accepted that these are women's clothes or jumpers or cardigans, then we won't buy them or wear them if we're men. So inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can do amal on this hadith and save ourselves from a big punishment. We don't know how big the punishment is. Because I pray salah, Allah, I do good deeds, I'm pious, I recite Quran in the evening, I prostrate to Allah. What sin have I committed? What difference does it make? It's such a big sin that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, curse on that man, on curse on that woman who resemble the opposite sex. We need to understand this. So in our lives, we do things, we do actions which we need to question ourselves how to do them. So Allah's millions and billions of times over, Allah's fadl and karam, that in this day and age, Allah Ta'ala is delivering these hadith to us. Imagine. Allah Ta'ala is awakening us, making us wake up that you're making effort, praying salah, doing dhikr, you're improving yourselves. So here you're making a mistake. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us to be careful. He puts it into our heart. Allah Ta'ala puts it into our heart. Allah Ta'ala arranges gathering like what we're in now. Allah saves us from the sin. So is this a punishment of Allah, a burden, or is this mercy of Allah? So if this education learning has come to us, is this a burden? Is this punishment? Would we call this punishment? This is Allah's karam, mercy, that Allah, look how you've saved us. Otherwise, we are working hard, praying tahajjud, and despite all of that, we haven't got any deed, even if it's one deed that resembles women. If a man practices one deed that resembles a woman folk, even one, the hadith doesn't mention the quantity, Allah's principles and rules. Doesn't say that if you do all the sins, then I promise you, no, one action, if I've announced Allah says it's wrong, even if it's one, you will be accounted for it. For example, if you have a ring on your fingers, or if you have a locket in the earrings, or you cut your hair like men, or men like women, or ponytails, or we do fashion like each other. It's common now. That's why I say it's so common. And people who don't do this, they're looked at as backward or fundamentalist, and this, you're not going with the times, etc. You're backward, people say. So shaitan, he has big traps that he's laid set aside in the Quran, the hadith. Allah has mentioned this by Allah's great blessings, Allah's great mercy and karam and generosity, that via these gatherings that we attend and sit in, look, those who love the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, and they want to love the awliya Allah, they want to adopt the path of love. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has done a dua, a prayer that Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, I ask you for your love. And Allah, give me the love of those people who love you. Subhanallah. What a great, great dua and hadith. That if Allah Ta'ala's love in somebody's heart, that Allah, I love you and I want to do things for you and leave the sins, then Allah Ta'ala opens the path for that person. And it comes in the dua, that Allah, give me your love and give me the love of those people who love you. So Allah Ta'ala's love, when it comes to us and we start walking on the path of deen, then Allah says, first you get my love and you'll get the love of those people who Allah loves. In other words, Allah gives you the company of a pious person, a pious servant. Allah says that when you go into the company of the pious servant in my seeking my love, Allah says, then what will happen there? Allah says that you'll get my love, but you go to the company of that person who loves me, who I love. Allah says, then you'll hear words from that person of love of Allah. And when you listen to him, you'll hear such good things and good learnings that will take you to my love. Allah says, those amal that you learn from that person's company. Amal will come to life, action will come to life. And he'll tell you this is lawful or unlawful. You say, huh? Is this unlawful? Haram? And he leaves it straight away. This is the consequences, the conclusion for a person. He says, Allah, I'm following the path of your love. That's why I've started doing dhikr. I'm wearing the right attire, dress code, and I'm doing the good actions now. And people in the world are immersed in sins. Allah, I'm following your deen. Allah, please give me your blessings and mercies. Then Allah will send you to such a person's company who doesn't waste time and talk nonsense. Rather, he will tell you the amal that will earn Allah's pleasure and love. Should we leave gatherings like that, brothers? Tell me, should we? Should we skip the gatherings? So a person who today has missed the gathering, or skipped the gathering, or bunked off, as we say, person who's left today's majlis, tell me, imagine the amount of mercies of Allah that he's lost out on. Oh no, it doesn't matter. Oh, there'll be dhikr again tomorrow, I'll go there next time. These majalis gatherings that Allah Ta'ala has selected and arranged. In every majlis, there's a unique, unique effect of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah's message in each gathering is unique and special, because Allah Ta'ala says that the gatherings of the holy Allah, they are unique styles of freeing people from sins. And I say this with conviction, that when a person leaves such a gathering, he won't leave empty handed, rather he will leave with the result that his many of his sins have been forgiven. Why? Because the beloved servants of Allah host those gatherings, and they want that the common man, the human beings, they love Allah. So they say such good things, they speak about good things, and in the world, the eyes of the world, it's always just minor thing, who's going to sit there in the house of Allah and listen to these points? But the awliya Allah, they mention points from the Quran and the hadith and the events of Yusuf etc. So people say, oh, what a great speech, it was a muqarrar. People say that, don't they? don't they? They recognize these are small things. But what makes use is that when a person today, if we understand what we're discussing today, that this sin was in my life, and Allah Ta'ala's la'na, curse was coming to me due to sinning. For this reason, I wore the ring in the wrong way, or the watch in the wrong way, or I wore things in the wrong way, which was resembling women folk. Then I don't even know that my life, I am walking around, wandering around, with curse upon me. But Allah Ta'ala, if He gives us the tawfiq, we should take it and understand from the learning of today. Say Subhanallah. So to leave such a gathering like this is a great act of misfortune. Should come running to the gathering that definitely Allah is going to give me khairat today, goodness today. Definitely Allah is going to tell me something good today. Definitely there's some sin that I'm committing. Allah will definitely inform me, make me alert that I should eliminate that sin from my life. And most definitely yaqeen, and I say this 100%. Allah knows best how many people's lives will be saved from the lana, the curse of Allah, if we improve ourselves and learn from this. We're sat here, and somebody or other from us will be doing something wrong. Maybe we're not careful in the way we wear our socks, in our colors that we choose, or our shoes, or other actions. We say it's a minor thing, a small thing. Tahajjud, waking up, is a big action. But to listen to the Prophet ﷺ, we say it's a minor thing. Yes, the greatest act of worship is to obey the words of the Prophet ﷺ, to obey the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember this, all day long, the more we obey and adhere to the Prophet ﷺ, that will be the greatest act of worship in the day. End of story. All of the deeds of night worship, and that put them aside, and ask yourself a question, what's my greatest deed? Tahajjud, dhikr, Quran, recitation, everything put to one side, and on the other side, on the other scale, one action, that I listen to this instruction or word of the Prophet ﷺ, which scale will be heavier? The second one. You can put everything of the world and your deeds on one side. You say, I didn't listen to the Prophet ﷺ. So there's any benefit of that? Maulana Sahib, will there be? Yes, that mashallah, he's a fresh graduate. Ask him. Everything, Quran, your learnings and knowledge, Hajj, all your deeds put on one side, on one scale, and on the other scale, say, I didn't listen to the Prophet ﷺ. Purposely, the Prophet ﷺ said, do this, and I didn't listen to him. Is it necessary? And on the other side, Subhanallah, stated that morning until night, you have to be cautious about what? That every word, every instruction, every advice of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should implement and put into action. Am I right or am I wrong? Will we do this, all of us? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability. It's a great point we've discussed today. Fantastic point. And inshallah we'll be cautious from all wrong things. Because a person, he loses concentration, focus. So let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وعزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمرنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واجعلنا في زمرتي يا كريم اللهم انا لو ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا Yahadiyun haja ikta haja dina. Yahadiyun haja ikta haja dina. Yahadiyun haja ikta haja dina. Yadaviyun balayyan itfa balayya dina. Yadaviyun balayyan itfa balayya dina. Yadaviyun balayyan itfa balayya dina. Ya Shafi'al Murad, Ishfa Muradina. Ya Shafi'al Murad, Ishfa Muradina. Allahumma afina fi badni, Allahumma afina fi sami, Allahumma afina fi basri. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رَبِّهُمْ هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رَبِّهُمْ هما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم رَبِّهُمْ هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.